One question I get asked a lot is, are there elephants and zebras and stuff just running around wild?
In Malawi?
Yes.
People would eat them if they were just running around wild. They have these parks that are conserved by nonprofit organizations that are trying to bring animal wildlife back that's almost been killed off. So the answer is no for 100, Alex.
Yeah, most Malawians haven't even seen these animals. You know, your typical African animals.
There are monkeys or various types of...
Lots of monkeys.
Monkeys. Or there's so many types of primates. I always get my primates mixed up. I know my humans and gorillas and monkeys, but beyond that, it gets a little fuzzy.
If it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey.
Ah, VeggieTales. VeggieTales. Let's just go ahead and start. This is episode 2. Welcome to Gospel Life,
the podcast of Gospel Life Global Missions. I'm Stacy Lee Hutchins.
And I'm Josh Hutchins, and we are the founders of Gospel Life Global Missions. And today we're going to tell you a little bit more about what Gospel Life is and what we do.
Yes, apparently we've been really bad at explaining that to people in conversation and people that we know. We've been getting a lot of questions about, so what exactly is it that you're going to be doing there? So we thought that would be a fun thing to talk about. Well, the short answer that we give a lot of times is training pastors, because that's going to be your main role.
Yeah, I guess some of the confusion comes about, like, when we tell kids about missions, we always just say, what do missionaries do? They tell people about Jesus. And even with our own kids, when we're praying for our missionary friends around the world, a lot of times the prayer is, help so-and-so tell people about Jesus. And so I guess people have a image of missionaries just standing on a street corner handing out tracts, and that's all you do for like 8 hours a day, and then you clock out and go home.
Yeah. I think of church planters mostly when you think of missionaries, you know, people, personal evangelism and trying to start a church in a place where there isn't one.
Which, of course, is missions.
And, yes.
And whereas the standing on the street corner just holding out tracts, God uses that sometimes. And there are people who do that, but that's not the strategy that most missionaries choose to take. And it's not what we're doing. And neither are we church planters in and of ourselves. We are supporters of church planters.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the last episode, we talked about how we were led to Malawi and how God's leadership brought us there. And we mentioned that we're connected to about 150 churches in the country of Malawi, and most of them have been founded in the last 10 years, starting with two churches that just began preaching the gospel and planting other churches. And then it just went on and on and on from there.
Yeah, just Malawians telling other Malawians about Jesus. It's been pretty great.
So our role is not as much to come in and do what they're already doing. Our role is to support them in doing what they're doing. And the purpose of Gospel Life Global Missions is actually the exact same purpose statement as our home church and the church that Gospel Life is accountable to, Hardin Baptist Church in Hardin, Kentucky. We exist to glorify God by growing disciples who make disciples.
What a coincidence.
It was an incredible coincidence. And it's also a coincidence that our logo colors, I was really proud of this one. Our logo colors are the exact same as the Hardin Baptist Church logo color. So you can see the connection there.
You know, there's a lot of corn in Africa. We could have worked that into the logo somehow too.
This is getting into inside joke territory. If there's people who aren't from Hardin Baptist and don't know about our corny logo, you won't know what we're talking about, but there is corn in Malawi.
We should have done that. I'm disappointed that you didn't think of that.
Anyways.
We did have the little seedling.
It could be a corn plant.
It could be a corn plant.
Yeah, our logo does have a little seedling growth coming up out of a Bible. And for Brother Ricky, at least, we'll say that that is a young corn plant. So
Okay. I like that. Okay, so why don't you introduce us to kind of the big picture of gospel life? Like we said, the short answer is pastor training, but it's not all we're going to do.
Yeah. So the mission statement obviously works for our home church here. So what's specific about what we're doing in Malawi? When we say we're glorifying God by growing disciples who make disciples, and then we pair that together with these 150 churches that we serve, and hopefully more than that as those churches continue to plant churches. What does this mean? We're there to grow the disciples who are there so that they can continue the work of making more disciples, which is the Great Commission. And that takes part in three components of ministry. So the first component, and the one that is my wheelhouse, along with my title of president and missionary and founder, I'm also the director of pastor training. So that's the first component of how we grow disciples who make disciples. We train pastors. The second component is church planting and church growth. So we help churches. We help these pastors who are planting churches. We help them to do that. And we help the churches that are these young new churches to grow in to greater maturity. And then the third component of the ministry is compassion ministries, which just means ways that we meet physical needs or felt needs as a way to tell people about the gospel or to encourage those who are already believers.
So that really sums it up. You said that you're going to be training pastors. Why don't you tell us about that in a little bit more detail? Like, what exactly are you doing?
So we began going to Malawi on short-term trips to do modular pastor trainings. And that meant going to a location for a week at a time and teaching pastors in that location, and then going to another location for another week, teaching pastors in that location, and then going home. And then the next year, I'd come back and do modular classes again. So we're going to continue to do that for those who are already pastors on the field, but then we're starting a residential academy, Lord willing, in September. What year is it?
Next year.
Okay. What year is next year?
2019.
2019. It's 2018 now. In September 2019, we hope to launch the residential program of Shepherd's Academy, which will take in younger single men and train them for 2 years in an intense discipleship program. So that's the pastor training aspect, and that's what my main focus will always be, because that's what I'm gifted at, that's what I love and am passionate about.
And then, so the next thing that you mentioned are the what do you call it? The church side of things.
Church planting and church growth.
Church planting
is what I'm going with today. Maybe I'll choose a different label some other day.
Okay. And so that person, whoever the Lord calls to lead that side of things, will be meeting with the churches and getting to know them and helping disciple them.
Yeah, and I think it would be helpful for our listeners to kind of understand, most of our listeners in the United States go to churches that are 100 years old or 150 years old, and they've been doing what they've been doing for a long time. And even if you go to like a new church plant, you're basing it off of things that you've seen and experienced in other churches. Mm-hmm. Whereas these new churches, we're teaching them how to do Sunday school with their children because they don't know how. They've never done it. Yeah. The two aspects of that ministry, church planting and church growth, is these pastors who are just going to the next village, preaching the gospel. People believe there's a new church planted. We're helping them in that, finding what needs they have, how we can support them, maybe helping them see, okay, here's some villages that we haven't gotten to yet, and directing them their attention in that way. And then for the churches that are being planted, to help them grow to greater maturity in the ministries that they can use to disciple themselves and also reach their community.
And Eric and Stephanie are already doing a bit of that. I know Stephanie's been doing some women's.
Eric and Stephanie
Chapman.
Who are our missionary partners in Malawi.
Yes. Right. I know Stephanie's done several women's conferences where she's teaching the women how to teach Sunday school and how to teach their own children.
When we get there, it'll just be a great opportunity to continue to step that up because the opportunity, the need is huge. It takes time. It takes people. It takes effort. It takes money that we just have to get there to be able to meet the need that that these churches are asking for.
Yeah. And finally, the side of things that seems almost overwhelming to me when you're going to one of the poorest countries in the world is the compassion ministry side, because there are so many needs.
Definitely.
How could we not at least try to do some small part to address them?
Yeah. And the questions are difficult because how do you choose what to do? How do you choose who to help when you can literally help almost all 17 million people in a country because of their need? So that's difficult, but the Lord is leading us to focus on a few different things. And actually, the last time we were there, we got to participate in one of our mobile medical clinics. So what was that like?
Yeah, this is a thing that God has led Eric and Stephanie to start doing, and they work so tirelessly at these, and it was so neat to see happen. They load all of these medical supplies into a few totes and load them in their vehicle, and they go off to these villages that the people have no access to medical care at all. If they were sick, it might be a long bike ride just to get to the nearest village that had a hospital. And that hospital might not even have medicine in it because a lot of them don't. Or they couldn't even pay to see the doctors. And the people really have zero access to medical care. And so Eric and Stephanie have been going. They partner with churches that are already either in the village or close to that village, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go in and working with the churches, and they see people, and it was neat. They have a Malawian doctor who goes with them, Dr. Tata, and he sees all the women and children, and then they kind of triage the men, and the more serious cases that the men have also get to see Dr. Tata. And you preached just a very simple, clear gospel message three different times, right? As people came.
Yeah, people would come in kind of groups to the clinic, and they received tickets for when they could see the doctor so that it wouldn't be very chaotic, because everybody would press in to see the doctor without some sort of order. And so as they came, we took each group and we would preach a basic gospel message, and the Malawian brothers would give an invitation and counsel with people interested in hearing the gospel and follow up with them. And then they would come and see the doctor. And it's something that, like, I just want to emphasize, this is in villages that are remote from any main roads or medical care. The one that we went to, you can't even get to by car or by Toyota Land Cruiser, which
it was like a 30-minute drive off the main road. And then we crossed the Shiri River. Or was it a tributary?
I think it was a canal that was in a sugar cane plantation.
Anyway, we had to cross
from the river.
A small river in canoes to the other side. And then it was like a 20-ish minute walk into the village from there.
Yeah.
So extremely remote.
Yeah. So right now we work in 15 villages and we go back to the same 15 villages 3 times a year. But the opportunity is so big, or the need is so big, that we could easily expand it to 25 villages and they could really use us coming 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. But it's just, again, the people, the money, the time, the opportunity, you know, all those things, we just have to get those things in place before we can really expand this the way that we want to in order to help people.
And they can't do a lot, but even just the malaria medicine that they're able to give out, that is genuinely life-saving medicine that the people don't have access to.
Yeah, for us, malaria is a very scary-sounding disease, especially if you've read old missionary biographies and stuff. But really, in reality, it's not that dangerous. We have medicine for it. If you get it, you get a test, you find you have it, you take the medicine, and most people get better. But the problem is that so many people aren't able to have access to the medicine if they get malaria. Mm-hmm. And we're able to cheaply buy that medicine, take it there, and treat people who have it or prepare them for when they do get it.
Yeah. And they give out like topical antibiotics for infections and stuff like that.
Things for parasites, common parasites that people have. Just
vitamins, even just vitamins for kids.
For vitamin deficiencies, malnourishment. Very simple things. I mean, obviously, we're not doing surgery out in the bush. But
there's a lot they can't do, but what they do give out is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's our main aspect of compassion ministry right now. But we are praying about other opportunities that are opening up, opportunities to help schools, public schools in Malawi, opportunities to work in agriculture. It just depends on who the Lord brings to work with us and their expertise and their passions. And we'll see what God does, because it's really about His leadership and not us making things happen.
Yeah. So with the big vision for Gospel Life laid out, I thought that it would be fun for us to address a few questions that you and I get asked pretty often when we're talking to people about Malawi.
So I should know the answer because I've had practice, is what you're saying.
Right. Okay. None of these are trick questions. I think we could both agree the number one question that we get asked most often is, what's the weather like there? Okay. Is that not the question you get the most?
I was going to go with, what language do they speak there?
Oh, the first question I always get is, what's the weather?
Okay. What's the weather like there?
So, Malawi's in the southern hemisphere. It's south of the equator, so their seasons are opposite of ours.
And there are different stars.
Okay.
That's just really cool. You go to the southern hemisphere, the stars are different.
Okay. I didn't think about that.
Of course. We remember when we were on the beach at Lake Malawi and we were finding the Southern Cross, which is the equivalent to the North Star in our hemisphere. It's the way that people navigate. And okay, never mind. I think it's cool, at least.
It is cool.
I thought I was going to be an astronomer. I wanted to be an astronaut. This is way off base.
I did too.
I wanted to be an astronaut. I used to sit upside down in my parents' recliner and pretend like the ship was... This was Apollo 13. The movie had come out when we were kids. So really wanted to be an astronaut. I don't like roller coasters, as you know.
Uh-huh.
So I decided as a kid that I would settle for being an astronomer
Oh.
Okay. So maybe that's why I care about the stars. Long story short.
Okay. I wanted to be an astronaut too. I went to space camp in the sixth grade with the GT. But all my nerd friends.
You probably would have actually done it. And I would have been like, no, I'm not even getting on the thing that they whip you around to simulate.
You could have been one of the guys in the control room.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm reading Hidden Figures right now. So those people are really cool who calculated
they are.
All the launch factors and getting out of Earth's atmosphere.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about the stars and like
the weather
beside Lake Malawi.
The weather.
The stars are different and the weather.
The weather in Malawi. Yes, it's in the southern hemisphere. So their winter is during our summer, and I use that with air quotes because winter there is about in the 70s every day.
Yeah.
It, as a hot for a high, which is I'm really excited about. Yeah. And then their summer, their hottest time of the year is like October, November, December.
Right before the rainy season starts. Yeah.
And so it gets up to around 100 most days there, I think. And 110 in the lower
Shiri. It depends on what part of the country you're in.
Yeah.
Where we're living in Zomba is a higher altitude. It's the old British capital of Malawi. And
because it was cooler.
It was cooler. There's less mosquitoes. Fewer British people died there because of the malaria before they had medicine or knew how to treat malaria. So it stays more constant in the higher altitude. You get in the southern part where about half of the churches we serve are in the lower Shiri Valley. It's like the deep south. I'm talking in America, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, hot, humid. They grow the same types of things there that they grow in the deep south here, sugarcane, cotton. So it differs depending on where you're at.
But that's the general idea. The weather is the winter is gorgeous and the summer is slightly miserable, but we'll make it. What's a question you get asked a lot?
I already told you, what language do they speak there?
Okay, so
I thought that was the number one question.
What language do they speak there?
They speak Chichewa is the main language of Malawi.
And I always tell people it's a Bantu language, which is the same family as Swahili, which is a language that most people have heard of more likely than Chichewa.
And there are a few different dialects that are in different parts of the country. When we're in the lower Shiri Valley in the deep south, they speak a different dialect, but we still use Chichewa translators and they understand it. And then there's a lot of people who speak English because it's a former British colony.
They do learn it in school, but for some of them, I get the feeling they learn English in school kind of the way I learned Spanish in school.
Yeah, and there's kind of a rural urban divide there. More if you're in the city, you're more likely to know English. If you're in a village, then you probably just know a few words.
And we are going to learn this language.
Yes, yes. Right now we're thinking that we'll employ a private tutor.
Yeah, so we're going to have a tutor. The kids and I are going to be... This can segue into the next question that we get asked a lot, which is, what will I be doing?
Yes, I get that question quite a bit. I don't know about you, but I talk about what I'm going to be doing in the pastor training especially, and I go on and on and on, and then people are like, well, what's your wife going to be doing? As if, you know, you're chopped liver or something. They don't mean it that way, but it's just... what are you going to be doing? I need to know this so I can answer this question.
I'm going to be homeschooling our five wonderful,
yes,
beautiful, intelligent, exhausting children.
But that takes time and energy and you...
So much.
This is an important point, though, isn't it?
Yes.
We were talking to someone just a few weeks ago, and they were dealing with this kind of pressure of if you're a missionary wife, then you're supposed to be a missionary
Yeah.
Before you're a wife, you're supposed to really be out there like beside your husband.
Have a missionary job.
Yeah. Doing all kinds of children ministry or doing X, Y, and Z. Whereas really your number one job, especially when you have young kids, is to be a wife and a mother.
Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, Stephanie is an inspiration to me in the ways that when they were in Moldova and their kids were young, she was an amazing mother and also used that to reach out to the other children that they were around, you know? And so there are ways to do that if we find that opportunity and if we...
Yeah, just like I think any Christian, wherever you're at, you're trying to find ways that your life intersects with other people and you're able to share about Jesus with them. Mm-hmm. It's just unique as a missionary who's a wife and a mother. It's unique in that you're doing that cross-culturally in yeah. other languages, in other places, but still your main focus is to keep your home running, to feed everyone, to hope yeah. that they learn how to do math and read something.
So we're not just going to be holed up in the four walls of our house all the time.
Right.
But that is going to be my primary responsibility, at least while they're little. I do yeah. hope to get involved in, you know, maybe some of the compassion ministries or the Sunday school leader training and stuff like that as the kids get older and I have a little more free time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But number one, take care of those kiddos and make sure they're not flushing things down toilets, which is the current stage we're in with our toddler.
Another question I get asked a lot is, where will you buy stuff? Are there real stores there? And yes, there are real stores there.
I always like to tell people we have Walmart. And then watch their face. Because they're like, wait, there's Walmart in Africa?
Well, yes and no.
Well, then I explain that
right.
it's owned by Walmart.
There's a, yeah.
It's not called Walmart, but it is Walmart.
They have Mainstays brand, the yeah, Walmart
it's
brand.
It's called
stuff.
Game.
It's a South African chain.
Yes.
That was recently bought by Walmart. Anyway, they have that in the capital. Well, not the capital, but Blantyre, and probably one in the Longway too. And so that's an hour from where we'll be living, so we can make trips in. And there are other places, bigger places to shop in Blantyre, and locally in Zomba, where we'll be living, there are some little stores that you can get your necessities. And there's also a really big, beautiful outdoor market full
Which
of.
You love shopping in. Outdoor markets.
I do. That was one of my favorite parts of living in Moldova was the outdoor market. And so, and I've really enjoyed going to this one in Zomba with Stephanie. Any other questions or anything that you can think of?
Here's a question that I get pretty regularly. So are you going to have running water and indoor toilets?
Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. As long as the water's working that day.
I don't know. Maybe we should let people think that we're not going to, and then they'll give greater support to gospel life.
Yeah, they'll pray harder for yeah. us.
Yeah, maybe they'll go into online giving and up their giving amount if they realize that we don't have running water.
Just a mud hut, dirt floor.
No, we are taking five children to the other side of the world. And we are going to have running water, and we might even bathe them while we're there. So,
not that we do that super often, even in America.
Americans just take way too many baths. It's, you know, we like in America, we just dry our skin out. We take so many baths, mm-hmm. but. In most places around the world, like one bath a week will do. You know, that's the standard. Then just kind of powder up and go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the way we live. We love it. Sorry.
We have tried to conform to American standards since coming back, but that's just part of the reverse culture shock issues that we continue to have all these years later. Are you ready for the bullet round?
I don't know what that means.
It's the speed round of questions.
Okay.
I'm going to throw some questions out to you and you have to answer them as fast as you can.
Okay.
Okay. Is Africa a country? Yes or no?
No.
Is Africa a continent? Yes or no?
Yes.
What side of the road do they drive on?
Oh, the other one, not the one we drive on.
Is that the right or the left? Or is it the left or the right? It's just the other one. It's the British one.
I don't know. What side do we drive on? The left? We drive on the right, and so they drive on the left.
Oh, no. I still can't tell my right from my left. How long does it take to fly there?
A really long time. The shortest flight you can get right now.
Bullet round. You can't go into... Okay, go ahead.
The shortest flight you can get right now is 25 hours.
And that's speedy compared to what we've done in the past.
Yeah, most of them are closer to 40 or more. 40 hours of total travel. That includes your layovers and stuff.
110 or 220 volt?
220 volt.
That's for the electricians out there.
And they use a fun fact, they use a British plug in Malawi because it's a former British colony. And so it's huge and weird looking.
You just offended all our British listeners.
I'm so sorry to all of you who are listening.
We offended our Bulgarian listeners last week, and now we offended our British listeners.
I'm so sorry. We hope you've had fun listening to these questions and our answers. We had a lot of fun doing them, and we'd love for you to ask us more questions. You can go to gospellife.org/questions, or you can just send us a Facebook message or a text or whatever. And we would love to answer your question on the podcast. Thank you for listening.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Gospel Life Go.
God provides for the needs of Gospel Life through your prayers and gifts. To become a prayer or giving partner, go to gospellife.org.
We hope you join us in glorifying God by growing disciples who make disciples. We hope that you live a gospel life.